I want to talk to you about the interrupted life. None of us like to be interrupted. This coming week, I'll be going to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I'll be preaching a six-part missions-themed message series from the book of Jonah. Today, I'm going to give you the first one of that, and that is about an interrupted life. When I was a young man, I was in a Christian school. I belonged to the Twin Ports Baptist Church in Superior, Wisconsin. I was in the Christian school. I was in the youth group, and I was doing all that kind of stuff. But I had my own plans for my life. You know how we are. We like to make plans. We like to think about our futures and so on. And I was bound and determined that I was going to go into the medical field. Well, I wasn't even saved at the time when I had made up those kind of conclusions in my life and for my future. And so my life was severely, but greatly and wonderfully interrupted May 30th, 1992, when I, as a very religious young person growing up in the Christian school, growing up in the Independent Baptist Church, growing up in the youth group, all that kind of stuff, I finally got saved. And when I got saved, God called me to preach. And when I told my parents that, it was a big shock to them, and because they saw where my life was going and it wasn't going in that direction. And all of a sudden, God, I met with him one night. I met with him and I gave my heart to him and I gave my will to him. I said, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to obey you. I want to live for you in this world. And he interrupted my life at that time. 3 months later, I found myself at Bible school. And I told you in the Sunday school, man, I was going to be a pastor in the United States of America. I was going to be a youth worker. I was going to be an associate pastor. I was going to be an evangelist. I was going to do something as long as it was in the United States of America. But a missionary to a foreign country, that had never crossed my mind. And when I went there, the Lord interrupted me in my life and my way of thinking and all that. That very first week when I was in Bible school, and it started off with a missions conference. That whole first semester, I struggled with that concept of going and surrendering to be a missionary and then going to be a missionary somewhere in this world. You know, we don't like it very often when we have our own plans, our own ways, our own desires, our own ambitions, and God has something else in mind for us. And sometimes we don't like it, because we can't really explain it. We can't really control it. And we can't really, there's nothing that we can really do about it. But God is the one. Listen, we love him. We serve him. We follow him. And God loves you and he has plans for your life. That includes the young people that are in here, the teenagers, the college age. That includes the middle-aged folks. That includes the young married couples. That includes the retired folks. Listen, God has a will and has a plan for your life, and that is to serve him. And oftentimes, we've got our own plans. We've got our own ways. We've got our own decisions that we are making that affect our futures and our life. But God sometimes gets in the mix, and he interrupts us. How do we handle it when God interrupts us in our own plans? Maybe you've had that experience in your life like what I had. I got saved. God interrupted my life, man. He called me to preach. Not long after that, he interrupted my life. He called me to missions. He told me where it was. And how could I, from northern Wisconsin, go to a foreign country and live there and work there and all of that kind of stuff for the Lord? Well, in my own strength, in my own wisdom, it was not possible, but God had some plans for me. He interrupted my life, and today I can stand before you and I can say that I am so glad that I surrendered to him and to his will, and I look very positively upon those interruptions in my life that God had placed. But again, interruptions we often look at in a negative way. We try to fight for control in our own lives, and really that begins when we are born. It's a natural thing. We want to go one way, but God sometimes wants us to go another way. Our plans or God's plans? Our will or God's will? Which is it going to be? What will it be for you when God interrupts you in your life? How you're living? How will you respond? When you see that God wants you to move into another direction than what you have planned for your own life and for your own future. And again, this applies for the young as well as the older. This applies to all of us, okay? I want you to think about, in the Bible, pretty much all of the characters in the Bible, at some point, they were interrupted by God, and it changed the course of their life. Moses, happily living out there and caring for the sheep of his father-in-law for 40 years in the wilderness, all of a sudden, he sees a burning bush that is not consumed, and God spoke to him out from that burning bush. God interrupted the life that Moses was living. God interrupted the life of Noah and said to him, I want you to build an ark. He says, God, what's an ark? He said, well, you got to build an ark because I'm sending rain. He said, God, what is rain? He had to follow God and follow God's instruction. It was a big interruption for him. It was different than what all of his neighbors, what all of his extended family were doing. It was different from everybody else. But God interrupted him, and it was for a purpose to save him and his family alive. Abraham was interrupted when God called him to leave his friends, his family, extended family there, his culture, probably business, all of that stuff. And God called him to head out on an adventure and said, just start walking, and when you get there, I'll tell you. I don't know about you, but that's an interruption in life. How many of us would be willing to do something like that? Think about Sarah. Sarah's life was interrupted when she was 90 years old, when God said, you are going to have a baby boy. 90 years old, giving birth, that's an interruption in life. Joseph's life was interrupted when he was just hanging out there with his brothers, and his brothers decide to betray him, and they sell him as a slave to the Ishmaelites. He didn't do nothing wrong. He wasn't expecting that. That was not on his forecast or his plans for his life. It was an interruption. But you know that story and how it goes through and how that God was with him every step of the way. I think of the disciples in the New Testament. In one way or another, each of their lives were interrupted by Jesus. They left being a tax collector. They left being a fisherman. They left their businesses, their boats, their nets. They left all of these things aside and behind when Jesus says, come and follow me. That was an interruption in their life. Think about Mary. What was Mary doing when the interruption came into her life? Mary was planning for her wedding. That's what she was doing. And the angel came unto her and said, Mary, God's got a special job for you. You are going to carry the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, in your womb. You are going to give birth to Jesus, and so on. Again, we see that time and time again through the scriptures that people's lives have been interrupted. How are you going to deal with the interruptions that come your way? We don't always understand what God's going to do. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. I kind of like these verses. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen, God's ways are different than ours. God's plans are dead sure going to be different than ours. I've got my way and I've got my plans where I want to go. And that's exactly what Jonah did. And I'm going to share some of that with you in just a few moments. But then God intervenes and God steps in. He says, I've got some different plans for you. How are we going to react? If we really want to follow God in our personal lives, then we must have the expectation in our minds that God will eventually interrupt our lives to reveal to us what his will and plan is for us. Sometimes we get comfortable. We like what's going on in our life. We like our church. We praise God for our new preacher. The church is growing, and we see new faces, and things are going good, and it's very easy to become complacent. But listen, we've got not to be complacent, but we've got to look forward with expectation and invite God to come in and interrupt our lives. Because when he interrupts our lives, it is always for our benefit and for his glory. How are we going to handle the interruptions that come in our lives? God will ask for something that you did not anticipate. He's going to expect us to surrender and to yield to something that when we started to walk with the Lord, when we became a Christian, we never expected to do something like that. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, some very popular verses and very familiar. I like these. Says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I got to thinking about that, a living sacrifice. You've got an altar there, and if you're a living sacrifice and you are up on that altar, guess what a living sacrifice can do? That living sacrifice can wiggle. That living sacrifice can squirm. That living sacrifice can jump off and remove itself from that altar that it once placed itself upon. What are you going to do when God interrupts your life? How has your life been interrupted lately? Have your life plans ever been interrupted? Yes, maybe. No, maybe. Have you ever run away from God as Jonah did? If you answer yes to either of these questions, then Jonah is a story that is for you, and Jonah is a story that you can relate to. Up until the book of Jonah, throughout the entire Old Testament, there is only one verse that makes reference to Jonah, and we'll look at that in just a little bit. But really, we didn't know nothing about Jonah until Jonah's chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. If you're not careful and you're going through your Bible, those pages sticking together, and you're going through there quick, you might just miss the whole book of Jonah because those pages are stuck together. But listen, Jonah, that story, Jonah, the things, the events that happened, Jonah can be applied to so many of us today. I want to read Jonah chapter number 1, verses 1 through 3. Jonah, the interrupted life. Again, back in 2 Kings, I believe it's chapter number 14, we'll look at that verse later, is the only verse in the Bible that mentions Jonah specifically. It's silent before that and it's silent after that until the book of Jonah. And here is how it starts out. The Bible says this. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish and from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down unto it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. His life was interrupted. If you look, and we'll look at the verse in just a minute, he's been a prophet for many years. God has given him the message. He has taken that message and he has communicated it to the people. He's got a long-standing, close relationship and fellowship with God Almighty. When God gave him the message to give to his own people, he was okay with that. But now God's interrupting his life. He says, I've got something a little different for you. Not just I want you to deliver a message, but I want you to go somewhere and deliver that message. Nineveh is about 550 miles away from Jerusalem. It's a long way. It's inhabited by a people that are the mortal enemies of the Jews. And in fact, we'll find out later, the city that Jonah grew up in was an actual border town with those people that inhabited that side, that inhabited Nineveh. And he's probably seen the war, the attacks, the butchery, and all of those things. And he didn't have a very warm spot in his heart for those people that inhabited all the way over yonder in the city of Nineveh. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh. The story of Joseph is very incredible. For many people, it's hard to believe, but I want you to understand, my friend, that I believe in the Bible. Every word is true. The story of Jonah is not a fable. It's not some kind of make-believe bedtime story, but it is true. There was a storm that rose up. There was a man cast into the sea. There was a fish that swallowed him up and then spat him up on the shore again. I believe every word of this story of Jonah. And there's so much for us that we can benefit from there. You think about the Ninevites, right? God said, I want you to go to the Ninevites. Those are the people that he didn't like. Those are the people which were the enemies of his people. He didn't want to go to them to take the message of the Lord. You think about that from a missionary's perspective. Sometimes God calls a missionary to that people group, to that country, which maybe he never liked at all. I knew a World War II vet who fought in Japan and around those islands and stuff there. And after the war, he surrendered to go as a missionary where? Back to Japan. He was a missionary for over 70 years in Japan. He died recently, about 5-6 years ago now. But God took and called him to the people that he once hated and warred against, fought against them, and even killed some of them. Of all of the prophets, Jonah receives this word from the Lord. And Jonah rebels and runs the other way. That's the unique thing about this story. The other stories, the prophets and so on, they were obedient to the Lord, but God gave Jonah, he says, I want you to arise and go to Nineveh. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm out of here. And he tries to go in the opposite direction to Tarshish. He gets on a boat and he starts sailing all the way across the Mediterranean Sea. They say that Tarshish was on the southern shores of Spain, some 3,000 miles in the other direction. Now listen, Jonah was a man of God. Jonah was a prophet with history for many years. Jonah was a man who preached. He got the word from the Lord. He gave it to his people. Jonah was very loved and respected by his people, all that kind of stuff. And he had a history with God, but he rebelled and he ran away. The preacher rebelled and ran away. And that is symbolic of not just preachers, but that's every Christian. We have it inside of us. We have it, tendency to rebel against God and his will and his way, especially when we view what he wants us to do as an interruption in our life that we are not comfortable with. Now, I do not like interruptions, and I'm sure that you don't like interruptions. I think about an interruption like this. You know, you're at home and think of a young lady that's got some babies, right? Listen, I've had four of them, not me personally, but Crinny Jr., right? We had four kids at the house, and they were little, and sometimes mom just wants a nap. She's been feeding that kid all day. She's been changing the diapers all day. She's been listening to the whines of that kid all day, and finally that baby's laid down, and that baby goes to sleep, and she says, oh, she says, just for an hour, oh, this is going to be so good. And she just wants to sit back and she wants to relax and take a nap. And she's just getting into it. And somebody's at the door. They want to read your gas meter or whatever it is. The baby's up. The baby's crying. The baby's screaming. And listen, she doesn't like that interruption at all because it interrupted her comfort and what she had planned to do. I picture Jonah very similar to that. He was a man of God preaching the message of God. He was successful at what he was doing. The people loved him. He loved what he was doing, and he was comfortable. And God said, all right, I want you to do this, but I want you to get up and go to Nineveh and deliver my message there. And he said, that's just too far. And he rebelled against God, and he went away from God. Some interruptions are that we go through. We don't really like at all, but some of the interruptions that we go through are good and we view it in a positive way. Now, how can you tell the difference between those types of interruptions? I've got a very simple illustration for you. You're at home and you're fixing to sit down with your wife to a good meal. Some babysitter's got the kids and it's just you and mama at home. Boy, I like those days. And she's cooked you your favorite meal. You've got some candlelight on that table. The lights are turned down, possibly some little soft music playing in the background. And you're going to have a night of just enjoying one another's company. And you're sitting there and all of a sudden, ring, 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 and you pick up the phone. And wouldn't you know it, it's a telemarketer. Now, people don't view that in a very positive way, now do we? We say, good grief, how many times I got to tell you no, go away, go away, go away, hang it up. Same scenario. You're at home, the candlelight is on, you're getting your favorite food out, and the phone rings. You're a little aggravated at first, but you say, who is it? Well, this is Publisher's State Clearinghouse, and you've won $10 million. Whoa! That interruption now is all of a sudden viewed in a positive way. Baby, come here, man. Give me a hug, and we'll be jumping, and we'll be you know, celebrating. We've won $10 million. This is amazing. Same scenario, same type of interruption, but your reaction is based from where the interruption came from. Can I tell you something? God wants only what is best for you. God will never give you something to do or call you something to do that he will not equip you and enable you to do. God wants your best in mind for his glory. And if God interrupts your life, I want you to know that you need to take that as you just won the sweepstakes, man. God's interrupted my life. It's an amazing thing. I had my plans. I knew what I wanted to do. I had my own ambitions. God's got something more and different for me. I'm going to follow God. It's a good thing. It's a positive thing. That's not the way that Jonah looked at it. How do you look at the interruptions that come in your life? Some interruptions we are delighted with, while other interruptions, they disappoint us and they leave us with all kinds of questions. I want you to go just back there to, that's good, leave it there. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. Again, we didn't know much about him before this, but now we know that God's got a plan for him. God's got something for him. He wants him to go to the heathen. He wants him to go to the unbelievers. He wants him to go and deliver a message of repentance to them. Now, there's two miracles in this verse, verse number one, that you need to pay attention to. Two things happen, and listen, God's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And God, listen, he can do this for us as well, all right? Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, the two things in this verse that we need to understand is, number one, God spoke, and number two, God allowed a man to hear and to understand what God was speaking. That's two things right there, my friend, that we all need in our life. The preacher needs it as he leads this church. You need it as you lead a Sunday school class or your home or whatever it is. We want to hear from God. God, lead us, and God, show us what it is, your will for us, and God, interrupt my life. That should be how we act when God interrupts our life. I'm going to give you two main thoughts, and then I'll be done for today. All God's people said, amen. All right. The interrupted life. Number one, the interrupted life is a privileged life. The interrupted life is a privileged life. I believe that God and God's will was very prominent and very important to Jonah, and he loved the people that God had called him to in the past, and he wanted to deliver the message to them and all of that, and he enjoyed God's will, he enjoyed God's commands, but all of a sudden when God interrupted his life and said, I want you to go to that place that you don't want to go, I want you to carry a message to those that you don't really care about them and their eternal soul, he went the other way. To get a new view on what the interrupted life really means for believers in Jesus Christ, we need to get a new view of God. And like that illustration I gave you just a moment ago, somebody, a telemarketer calling and interrupting, or the lottery or whatever that sweepstakes years ago was, right? You remember that? Whenever God interrupts your life, young person, listen, whenever God's got a calling upon you, young person or adult or whoever you are, whenever, listen, you gotta view that, and you gotta see where that's coming from. It is God. He loves you. He wants the best for you. He's got a plan for you. And listen, we gotta view it in a positive way. And then we've gotta surrender and say, Lord, I'll go. I'll do. I'll work. Whatever it is, God, I know that you've got my best interest in mind. Verse number two, the Bible says here, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. One of the greatest revivals in history occurred because one man responded in obedience. Of course, he ran, he went, and he got thrown out of the ship, and the whale the fish swallowed him, and he repented and cried out to God, threw up on land, all that. And he came to his senses, and he went back to Nineveh there, and he began preaching and all of that. And it was a very short message. He said, you need to repent, because in 40 days, y'all are going to be destroyed. And people, man, it was supernatural. They repented of their sin in sackcloth and ashes and all of that. They gave their hearts to God. And it was an amazing, amazing thing that happened there. But it all happened because one person finally obeyed and followed God. I want you to understand that person is you. I don't know what it is that God has for you. I told you my background. I'm from northern Wisconsin. I come from a family of loggers. I'd probably be working up in the woods right now if it wasn't for God intervening in my life. What's God got for you? Sometimes we view it like a telemarketer. God, leave me alone. I've got my own plans. I've got my own ways. I've got my own desires and ambitions. Listen, we need to put those aside and say, God, whatever it is, here, my Lord, send me. Because God can do a great work through one person, one lady, one teenager, one man. God can do great, great work. One of the greatest revivals in history occurred because one man responded in obedience. He went to the Ninevites. Listen, Nineveh was a place that was hopeless, a place that was full of hopelessness. You know what? God often sends us to hopeless places so that we can see the hope of God revealed. Who is your Ninevite? Who are those that are in a hopeless situation that you know God wants to send you to them and give them a message? Maybe you're here today and you don't know much about Jonah. You may not know much about this Bible. You may not know much about the Baptist church or religion or any of that kind of stuff. That's okay. I want to tell you, God loves you. Even when we are in a hopeless state and in a helpless state, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, was buried in a tomb, rose again the third day to save your eternal soul, to give you the hope that you need so much. Who is your Nineveh? Who are the hopeless around you? What is your hopeless situation? Listen, God loves you. All right, the interrupted life is a privileged life. Why? Because God Almighty comes down, he talks to you. In that first verse, God spoke, man heard, and God can do that to us today as well. So the interrupted life is a life of privilege. I get to work with God and accomplish what God wants to do in me and through me, together with him. Number two, the interrupted life is a significant life. Significant. You know, a lot of people, they go through life looking for significance. They want to mean something. They want to be important. They want to feel important. There's convention centers and there's stadiums full of people that pay big money that go to these conferences and so on, and how to be significant and how to be important and feel important and all of that. Listen, I told you, Jonah, we didn't know anything about him up until Jonah chapter 1. We knew this about him. 2 Kings 14 verse 25. He restored the coast of Israel from entering to Hamath under the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of the servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. We knew his name, his religion, his family, his job, his hometown. That's like I meet you. You say, hey, Brother Johnson, where are you from? I'm from the backwoods in northern Wisconsin. Really? Yeah, what's your name? Johnson. Oh, man, there's Johnsons everywhere down here in Texas too, right? It's insignificant information. But when God comes into the picture, all of a sudden it's different. God spoke to him. He heard God. If you want a life of significance and if you want a life of meaning, you need to listen to God. Saved person, church member, God's got a plan for you. God's got a will for you. I have been thrilled and excited to be able to go out to lunch and eat that Mexican food. Man, it was so good. But get to sit there and listen to Pastor Bujak and his plans and the things, his desire for growth and what's going to happen in this church. And I'm so excited here for your future. But he needs a whole lot of help. And God's calling some of you maybe to teach Sunday school classes and to do different things. And Christian, listen, you need to be there with anticipation and expectation. God, speak to me. I will obey. I will follow. I will do what you want me to do. But maybe you're here today and you are not saved. You're like a Ninevite. You're in that hopeless situation. I want you to know that feeling that you're feeling right now in your gut and down in your heart. The Holy Spirit of God may be convicting you and wants to convince you that you need to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved today. Don't ignore the voice of God. Don't run from the voice of God. Jonah did that, and man, there was consequences, a lot of consequences for him. But if you ignore the voice of God when the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you and calling you to himself and pointing you to Jesus Christ, listen, that has eternal consequence. I want you to know that today you can be saved. I want you to know today, Christian, today you can give your life back to God. I want you to know today you don't have to run. You can come back. You know, God gave him a second chance, didn't he? God gave him a second chance. Everyone wants to have significance in their lives. And we've seen the significance happen after he had that interruption with God. And that's what God can do for you as well. The interrupted life is the cure for the search for significance. Do you want to feel that importance? Do you want to feel a sense of belonging to the family of God, with brothers and sisters in Christ, with God as your Father? Listen, accept Christ today. If you're saved and you're a believer today, and you want to have significance and meaning in your Christian walk and in your Christian life, I want you to quit running and quit rebelling, but surrender and say, whatever it is, God, I don't care what it is. I'm all in. I'll follow you. I'll live for you. I'll obey you. And then what we do is we encourage others and we take them along with us. Has your life been interrupted? Jonah's life was definitely interrupted. He didn't like it. He fought against it. But you know what happened was? After he repented, after all that happened, God called him to do exactly the same thing that God called him to do in chapter 1. God didn't change his mind in any way whatsoever. Christian, if you're running from God, if you're running from some kind of work or some kind of thing or task or whatever it is that God has called you to do, you know that God's called you to do it and you're running in an opposite direction. And now you say, well, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to have that relationship with him. I want to know what to do. Go back to that last thing that God told you to do and get busy doing that. Because God's not going to change his mind, just like he didn't change his mind with Jonah. How are you going to handle interruptions in life? The interrupted life is a cure for the search for significance. If you want to feel good in your life and as a Christian, I want to encourage you. Give your life to the Lord, follow him, and obey him with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Would you stand with me? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to pray with you for a moment. I thank you so much for your attention, and I just want to ask you to consider these things about the interruptions in life, because interruptions, they often come at the times we never expect them. And when they do come, we don't really like them. But we've got to remember, if they're coming from God, he is trying to work those circumstances. He is trying to work our surroundings. He is trying to get us to follow him. Just give in to him. Give in to him. Because the interrupted life, or that divine intervention that God does, that is a life of privilege. It's a privilege to serve God his way. And the interrupted life is a life of significance. Father in heaven, I love you so much. I thank you, God, for these people, this church. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives. God, if there is someone here today that does not know your son as their personal savior, Lord, I pray through your Holy Spirit that you would convict them and convince them that they need a Savior, and they shouldn't run, they shouldn't put it off, they shouldn't turn around and go the other way, but they should come down to this old altar right here, and someone from the church will meet with them, and they can receive Jesus as their personal Savior. That is the first step in finding significance in the Christian life, as you find the Savior. After that, God's got a plan for you. Lord, I pray that you would just work in our hearts. We pray now these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Calling for you. God's interrupted your life, and you need to surrender to what he's trying to do in your life. Let him have his way. Won't you come? Sing another verse in a moment. You know, Brother Johnson doesn't know many of us in this room. He doesn't know what's going on, the present situations that some of you are dealing with. But I know that there have been a lot of interruptions lately in life, some very difficult to deal with. He said, "What is your hopeless situation?" He said things like, "God only wants what is best for you." You know, sometimes when these interruptions come, we have these fleeting thoughts from the devil that God doesn't love us. But I want to encourage those of you who are going through a hopeless situation or going through an interruption in your life today, you have a choice to get to be bitter or to get better. You don't have to get bitter at God. You don't have to be bitter at God. You can bow the knee and trust God. Let him work in this. It may take years for God to show you what he's doing because of this interruption. But if you let God have his will in your life, God can do something glorious in your life. I don't know how God's working with you today. There could be somebody here today and you're not saved. God wants to interrupt your life. He wants to save your soul. And there's some, and I'll tell you, this church has some young people. You're sitting under perfect light. You're sitting under preaching. And you think you're a big person because you can keep on rejecting God and fight against God. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to come a day when you fall into the hands of a God, if you don't get saved, where you're standing at the judgment, and it's not going to be a good day. It's for real. When Jesus says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity," that's not going to be a good day. There's no salvation offered after this life. You need to get saved now. And so I want to encourage you. Do what God's calling you to do. Whatever you're doing, whatever God's doing in your life, surrender to him. Let's, brother, as we all sing together on this next verse, let God have his way in your life.
Why should we tarry?
You need to take a step of faith. Maybe somebody's been coming to church here lately and want to tell me, "Pastor, there's something going on in my life. I want to take a step of obedience in my life." For you, it may be baptism, maybe church membership. It may be a decision that you're making in your personal lives. If God's working in your life and you need to make that step for him, this is your verse. If no one else comes, we'll close. But if you got something going on in your life, you'll be obedient to the Lord. Right now, let's sing this next verse.
Time is a fleeting, the moments are passing from you and from me. Won't you come?
good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Please, I want to encourage you, if you're a child of God, this is Sunday, it's the Lord's Day, I want to encourage you to be in God's house tonight at 6 o'clock. It's important for you and your family to give God those opportunities to speak into your life. And we've been in this building right here. We started at 11, and the preacher got in the pulpit about 11:35, 11:40. He told his joke, started preaching, and, you got about 30 minutes of preaching. I want to say this as your pastor. That's not enough. You need to be in God's house more often, not less often. And we'll be preaching again tonight, a very important message on the Lord's church. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. We're going to be speaking about that tonight. And God has a place for you in his church to serve him. And may God get glory in his church. May you and your family give him glory in the church. I was listening to a speaker once, and he was saying how that people, after his little act, they asked him to sign their Bibles, and he forgot what his favorite verse was. So he had put his name in their Bible and was writing Psalm 38:5, but he didn't, or 38:7, and he didn't know what it said. He just had forgotten and was just putting one of the Psalms down, hoping it was a good verse. And that verse said, "For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh." That kind of reminded me of the story Brother Brian was telling about me. Most of that story was true. Miss Loretta has always been mesmerized by my love letters for her. Every time she gets a letter from me, she sniffs it and smells it. Oh, the smell of that male musk is just... I know, it's hard to resist, but I thank the Lord for... thank the Lord for Brother Johnson coming and preaching to us. I don't like it when missionaries come and preach for support. Don't preach for support. Preach to the people and to the hearts of people. Preaching gets the job done. It's to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, preaching's the power of God. And I thank the Lord that God, you know, gave you the message today, brother. And you be praying for Brother Johnson. He's only here for a few weeks, and pray that God would take care of his needs, give him some more churches to support, and solidify the churches that do support him. And pray for Miss Lisa and the children as he's away. As they say, when the cat's away, the mice will play. And so let's pray for his family. And so... don't forget, tonight, 6 o'clock, I think there's choir practice tonight, Brother John. Yep, choir practice tonight at 4:45, and please be mindful of that. Brother John, why don't you come and dismiss the service in prayer, please.
Amen. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we're glad that we were able to have Brother Johnson here with us today and appreciate the message. Lord, please help us to be attentive to the things that you do in our lives and recognize those interruptions for your love for us, Lord, and your care for us. Lord, please help us to recognize the goodness that you have for us, Lord. Lord, we love you. We ask that you bring us back safely tonight for the message and that you'll continue to work in our hearts as we go through the day. Have your perfect will in our lives, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.